Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Beginning in 2020, tens of thousands of Michiganders who rely on Medicaid for their health insurance will have to comply with certain work requirements or lose their benefits. That measure passed last summer, mainly along party lines, with Republicans in favor and Democrats opposed to the requirements. These work requirements would apply to able-bodied people between 19 and 62 years old. There are a number of exemptions for people who cannot work, including for pregnancies, disabilities, and full-time students. Yet even with these exemptions, a new study out this week argues that Michigan's work requirements could result in up to 183,000 people losing their health care coverage. Here now is a co-author of this report. April Grady is a director of Manat Health. It's the healthcare legal and consulting firm that's part of the law firm that released this study, Manat Phelps & Phillips, LLC. April, before we get into Michigan's numbers, we have to start with Arkansas. Why did your study examine Arkansas?
Well, Arkansas was the first state to implement a work requirement in the Medicaid program, and the results after about 6 months have been that nearly a quarter of the people who were subject to the work requirement have been disenrolled from the program.
Okay, and I'm sure much like in Arkansas, Michigan's legislative leaders argued work requirements are an effort to push more workers into the economy and that able-bodied recipients work half as much as the people paying for the program. And they said it's not unreasonable to ask able-bodied people who can work to look for a job, take vocational or job training, do community service. So looking at Arkansas, have these policy outcomes played out or is it still too soon?
It's still too soon. And as a condition of being able to implement these work requirements, states are required to do research to see what the outcomes have been. You know, this is not a standard feature of the program. It is experimental. And part of the point here is to find out whether these policies really do encourage work.
Now, Arkansas is definitely different than Michigan. Can you give us an idea? How did you go about comparing what happened in Arkansas to how Michigan's policy might affect people here on Medicaid once it goes into effect?
Sure. So in Michigan, you know, when the work requirement goes into effect, essentially people will be required to report monthly activities. In Arkansas, it was a similar sort of provision. People do have to report their work activities, but there were some big differences. In Michigan, there are going to be more people who are subject to this requirement than in Arkansas. So a good example here is in Michigan, people age 62 and older will be exempt from the work requirement, but in Arkansas, people age 50 and older were exempt.
Okay, so we've got that 12-year age difference.
Exactly. So that's one of the key things to take into account when we think about Michigan versus Arkansas. Another thing that we need to take into account is the fact that Michigan is also going to have more frequent reporting than Arkansas. The example here is Michigan is going to require all working people to report on a monthly basis, whereas in Arkansas, they will lift the reporting requirement if the state has information to show that you meet the requirement. So there's a little bit more of a burden in Michigan on the people who are in the program. The last thing I'll say is the technology for reporting in Michigan may be a little bit easier to navigate than it was in Arkansas. In Michigan, we expect that people will be able to go online and report by phone when they have to report these activities. In Arkansas, the reporting could only be done online for the first 6 months between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m., and that was probably an impediment to people being able to report. So I think those are the sorts of differences we took into account when we looked at the Michigan analysis.
And what do we learn from what has happened in Arkansas that tells us why people are washing out of the program? Why are these burdens too much and why people wind up leaving?
Well, and that's a really good question, and that's part of what Arkansas is still trying to figure out. It isn't entirely clear why people were not able to meet the reporting requirement in Arkansas. As I mentioned, we suspect the online reporting was one of the reasons that it was difficult for people to meet the requirement. But otherwise, it's really not clear among these people who left the program how many were working or exempt but were disenrolled just because they had difficulty navigating the system, and how many actually were not working and couldn't meet the requirement.
We're talking with April Grady. She's director of Manat Health, the consulting firm that released a study finding that work requirements could cause up to 183,000 healthy Michigan recipients to lose their coverage. The report estimates between 9%, April, and 27% of Medicaid recipients in Michigan could lose that coverage in a one-year period. Why is there such a wide estimated range?
Well, in part because these requirements are so new. As I mentioned, there are differences between the states in how the policies are going to be implemented. So when we look at Michigan, we can't say with certainty what's going to happen, but we do know there is this range that could be expected. And at the low end, if the state, you know, really does a lot to help facilitate reporting, to provide work supports that help people find jobs if they need them to be able to comply, we could see disenrollment at the lower end. At the higher end, that is consistent with what we've seen in Arkansas and, you know, is not out of the question, given that this is actual experience on the ground.
And April, when Michigan lawmakers were considering this policy, the House Fiscal Agency put out its estimate, and it figured enrollment reductions would be from 4% to 8%, considerably lower than what your report found. How does your study differ from how the House Fiscal Agency went about calculating the impact?
When the House Fiscal Agency did its work, it did not have the benefit of knowing what implementation was like in Arkansas. The estimates at that time were, you know, not based in actual experience. And now that we have that actual experience, we can learn from it.
Where do you see potential problems with how Michigan plans to implement these work requirements? What most concerns you?
Well, just going based on the Arkansas experience, the system for reporting is really important. We want people who are working, you know, who are meeting these requirements already to be able to comply and to maintain coverage if they, you know, are meeting the work requirement. So being able to report that with an online system or a phone system that is accessible to all kinds of people with, you know, different levels of access to the internet, you know, higher or lower literacy levels is an important issue. I think also in terms of the people who do need additional assistance to be able to comply with the work requirement, so people who have been out of work for an extended period of time and might, you know, really have difficulty rejoining the workforce, or people who are older workers who may face discrimination or other issues that make it difficult to work. I think sort of providing supports and appropriate exemptions is also something to look out for.
What do you see could be the ripple effects throughout the state of having perhaps up to 183,000 people losing their Medicaid coverage?
You know, first of all, it's likely that many of the people who lose coverage would have at least some period of uninsurance. There will be some people who perhaps gain coverage through an employer, but we do expect that many people would become uninsured. And when people are uninsured, you know, a number of things happen. The Arkansas experience has shown people will delay health care. There have been reports of people stretching their prescriptions, you know, not seeking care when they need it, so people end up sicker. I would say there are also impacts on healthcare providers, because if people show up to get care without insurance, that becomes a problem, particularly for hospitals who need to see people regardless of their insurance status when they have emergency conditions. And then, you know, for the state, I think there are administrative costs associated with people turning on and off of the program. So to the extent that we have people falling off unnecessarily and then coming back on, that's an issue of concern for the state.
April, is there a kind of a policy that you think could achieve the desired outcome of getting more people off Medicaid and into the workforce without cutting off people who need their medical coverage?
You know, certainly that's up for debate, and that's, you know, for policymakers to consider. I think our focus is on, given, you know, the policy that's in place, what are the reasonable expectations for coverage and impacts on beneficiaries? And that was really our focus here, to say if policymakers are going to go into this, they should do it with a clear-eyed view of the potential impacts.
Now, Michigan is not the only state that has asked for and been granted that federal waiver to impose work requirements. Why did you do this study now and focus it on Michigan?
Well, Michigan, you know, being one of the eight states that's been approved for Medicaid work requirements so far, is a state that didn't provide enrollment estimates to the federal government when it applied for permission to implement this policy. And as I said, we thought it was important for policymakers and other people in the state to have that clear-eyed view of the number of people who could be affected. And, you know, when the state developed this proposal, information on the Arkansas experience wasn't available. But now that we have that experience, it makes sense to use the information to understand what could happen in Michigan.
And bottom line, what do you believe policymakers in Michigan and other states should take away from what you found?
I think, you know, again, going into this knowing what the potential outcomes are so that if there is, you know, an unexpected or, you know, unusual experience that they can react to that and that they can anticipate the problems ahead of time. So as I mentioned, the issues with reporting that have been seen in Arkansas, policymakers can think about how to mitigate those negative impacts in Michigan.
April Grady is a former policy director for the Medicaid and CHIP Payment and Access Commission. Now she is a director at Manatt Health, a healthcare legal and consulting arm out of the national law firm Manatt Phelps & Phillips, LLP, the firm that put out this study. April, we want to thank you so much for talking with us on Stateside.
Thank you for having me.